bullshit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kinda whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. It's all shit. It's all shit. I mean, are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanus. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our Dumb Gay Podcast. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all the dumb gay shit happening in the world like we're talking about reality TV.
Karma 24, my mouth.
Oh.
Strikes again.
And what a blow it gave. What a wonderful chopping block. What a chop it gave to the block. Bye, OJ. Bye, bitch. Bye, bitch. Bye, you bitch. See you later, bitch.
I mean,
fucking like, piece of shit.
Say bye to Miss Laura. Bye, Miss Laura.
Boom. Good. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. So, bye.
I'm really, truly not even surprised that fucking OJ, after all this time, died in Karma 24.
I'm shocked.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Shocked. We didn't even know he had cancer, he was sick or whatever. And that piece of shit, thirst buckets constantly on Twitter, like, hey, Twitter world, it's me, OJ. Like, constantly weighing in on shit and acting like he didn't kill two people. So, like, you know, I'm surprised.
His shitty counsel and his executor of his estate does not want to pay. He, of course, died without ever having paid Ron Goldman or Nicole Brown Simpson's families.
Yeah. Yep.
They were awarded like $33 million. Mm-hmm. He never paid it. And now the executor of his estate is like, I if it's the last thing I do, I will see that especially Ron Goldman's family does not see a dime. It's like, what bug crawled up your ass?
Oh, I'm sure that there must be something in that will that gives that person money. But it's just like, what kind of person are you?
Why would OJ, the mother of his children, if you didn't murder her, what would you care about giving the mother of your children,
right,
the parents of your slain ex-wife? Why not just give them the money? You should,
right,
be happy. It's going to go right to your kids.
Yeah, right.
Ugh.
It's so
bye, bitch.
Gross.
Bye, Miss,
yeah,
Laura.
Bye, Miss Laura.
Just, ugh.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, you fucking murdering sack of shit.
So, wait, no, we've been watching Quiet on Set.
And I'm filled with rage. No, there's no justice. I want
justice
so badly.
Victoria Justice will be served in Karma 24. I'm telling you that much.
Yes.
Quick correction from last week.
All right.
It was not Devin Verona who, in fact, got us the luxurious pool floaties for our new Palm Springs house.
Oh.
It was Julie Lang.
Oh.
Also a benefactor who has been caring for us, sending us libations.
Oh my god.
Treats.
Yeah.
She spoils us. Now, I was emailing with Julie and I was like, why the fuck did I think that was goddamn Devin Verona? Because I looked at the box, it's not on there. Now there's nothing that screams out like the Costco or anything on it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I thought it was Devin Verona, and I finally figured it out.
Okay.
Devin Verona sent us a gift, but it's like a personalized gift from Etsy. So you click on the link and it's like a sign that we can make for like the Palm Springs house. But I didn't even notice that. I clicked on the link and all I saw was a note from Devin that said, congratulations on your new, enjoy this at your new Palm Springs house. So for some reason, that note.
Oh, that was connected to pool floating.
Right.
That makes sense.
Because that seems like a pool floating
note. Yeah. Enjoy that at your house. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I put the two together. Devin did get us. I'm assuming it's like, it's a sign. We can put anything we want it. We can put every dog has its day or
ooh, like blessed are the night.
No skinny people allowed. Like,
that one. That
old chestnut.
My fat runneth over. Such as.
We can put whatever we want on our sign and we'll have it in Palm Springs and it'll be so good. Maybe we'll put it chat what it chat. Maybe
ooh,
we'll,
a chat what it chat.
Maybe we'll put clam chowder. Chowder.
Hello. Awkward. Shocking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we'll just put potato. Maybe we'll put a picture potato. Of the potato.
That's good. Potato. You
know?
Yep.
And you also know I didn't know that was from Julie Lang because I'm not used to getting a box from her that doesn't have alcohol in it for me. And it was sad. It was sad, really.
Hmm.
But I will be drinking many a cocktail sitting on the fauteuils. No, but that's dangerous, Brandy. Is it? I will still do so.
Don't worry. No one will let you drown.
Don't worry. Now, we got a box from Katie Ritchie.
Okay.
Direct from China's on Mau Mau.
All right.
I want the kids to know we have yet to open it. And her note says, to some very classy ladies from Katie Ritchie.
Okay.
What did Miss Katie send to the classy ladies?
Ooh, it's a very large.
Ooh.
Ooh, it's a fucking coffee table book of Halston.
Oh my God. That's
oh my God.
So cool. Katie, thank
you. That is so cool. Ooh. Wow.
Julie's already opening it. Can't even let it stay clean. She must have cat paw and litter on it.
It's
a very, very cool book.
Beautiful
book. We recently talked about Halston on our Patreon podcast. Mm. I fucking love that. That is so cool.
Look at that. That is
so cool. A glass coffee table with like a kind of a modern, mid-century modern coffee table. So we'll put it on the bottom.
Yep.
Look very cool. Oh my gosh. Katie, thank you so much. That is really, really cool. Coffee table books from China's on. Who knew? I'm sure it's still very pricey.
Oh, look at this. It's Halston, Elizabeth Taylor. I don't even know. Are those drag queens? I mean, come on.
Is there any of just Halston's like designs?
Yes, it's a lot of his designs.
So like Bianca Jagger walking.
Lots of designs, yes.
I need all of it. All of it. Okay, we also, got an updated picture postcard for our Drug Den bulletin board from Natalie and Lisa from Denver. Now, you know, we met them at our Austin show.
Okay.
They came down from Colorado. They have a food truck called Wong Wei Veg. Okay, bitch. It's a vegan food truck. They are booked and busy, honey, because please believe I went on to the website and was looking at the treats that they serve up. They look so good.
Okay, so the postcard says, okay, so fine, we're 100 years older, but hotter, I think. Here's the photo shoot we did when we got our new Big Booty Judy truck inspired by your bathtub photo. Love you, Natalie in the dress, and Lisa, who I'm assuming is a butch dick.
Natalie, we know exactly who you guys are. We already have them. We don't need to tell us with the dress. We have their picture somewhere on this gigantic Drug Den bulletin board, and Natalie has like a blue streak in her hair.
Mm.
Plus, we met them in person. Yeah. But I love that the bathtub picture could inspire anyone. And
how cool.
It's just so fucking cool. Like, I think they share a Patreon account, which is our favorite thing of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they listen to it in their food truck.
Hope so.
But they're like doing the damn thing.
Doing the damn thing. I love it. I mean, fucking food trucking out, lezzing out, vegging out.
Vegging, veganing, veganizing out.
Beautiful.
It's so cool. It's so, so, so cool. Thank you, Natalie. Well, we're going to definitely put this up. Wong Wei Veg.
Wong Wei. Wong Wei.
Wong
Woad. Wong Woad. Wong Wei Veg. Wong Road. Wong Wei Veg. Mm-hmm.
If anybody wants to go check out our Patreon podcast, you can join for $4 a month. You'll get an hour-long podcast, not about politics, no ads, nothing, every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Try it for $4. This has to do with our Patreon podcast, and I can see by the note. Now, Mau Mau has no idea. So this is from our baby boo, Sarah Decker. Sarah has had a challenging year, and our angel, Jack Decker, but We know everything's going to turn out fine. She said she had to get this on a whim. Couldn't resist. I know what it is. I can't wait for Mamau to see this reveal. I think we're going to use these at the Palm Springs house, too. It's fragile, Mamau, so be careful.
Oh, I see a mug. Ugh.
I love a mug with a huge handle where I can fit my whole entire hand on the handle. I use it for like soup and stuff.
Jam out with your clam out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is
clam
a nice big mug.
Clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
I'm going to be eating clam chowder out of that.
Yes. The clam chowder is by far one of the best things I've ever made. I mean, I don't know. I wanted to make a new thing. I made it. It sucks. I threw it in the garbage. It's terrible.
When did you make the new clam chowder?
Not new clam chowder. The other stupid fucking soup.
Oh, okay.
That was on Instagram. I think I'm just going to have to make clam chowder.
Where we walk around chewing 7-day-old clams because we just find them in our teeth.
Yeah,
those
like,
mugs are so nice, Sarah. There's fucking 4 of them.
Oh.
I don't even want to take them to Palm Springs. I want them here because I need them for my soup. I love a soup lifestyle. Mama knows, okay. Don't I always
you
use
know
a
what?
Mug.
Here's what we'll do. We'll take the current mugs that are already here and transport them to the Palm Springs
house
and use those for when... were
the
there
cough,
or
the
whatever.
Cough, yeah.
You know, even though I'm sure you're, you know, yeah.
You know, Pam's got some major fucking
sure
mugs going on.
I'm sure she has some
on.
Mugs, yeah.
She's got a lot of mugs. I just need everyone to know they're white, big mugs.
Yeah.
With the cutest pink clam and a pink handle, but like pale pink.
Yeah.
They're really, really cute. And in the picture, it's sitting, literally at the mug is sitting in Palm Springs. Okay, so you guys know, I mean, I love Nutrafol, and the bottom line is this. I do not get my hair cut, and I have noticed this is my personal experience, and this is real.
Okay.
My shit is, it will grow and grow and grow until the end of time, and I do truly believe this. Nutrafol is a supplement that has legitimately changed my life. I took this, and I took it religiously, and I take it even now. I let my hair grow in, and I have, for my personal experience, I have noticed that Nutrafol has been truly life-changing. It really has. I committed to it for months, and I mean, there's not a bad word I can say about it, except for the fact that I do have to shave my legs more, and Mamau's mustache is rockin', honey.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, including your legs and your pores.
You thought you had full balding.
Full. Not anymore. Start your hair growth journey today by taking Nutrafol's hair wellness quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping at Nutrafol.com/quiz when you enter the promo code DGP. Take the quiz and get started on reaching your hair wellness goals with Nutrafol today. Go to Nutrafol.com spelled Nutrafol.com/quiz promo code DGP. That's Nutrafol.com/quiz promo code DGP. Okay, now we get to hang out with a comedian and talk some shit.
I do whatever the fuck I want. That's how I got famous, talking shit. And I'ma keep talking shit. I'ma keep talking shit till the day I die, bitch. Matter of fact, I'ma record something. So when I'm dead and I'm in a casket, I'ma be on a fucking radio talking shit like, yeah, at my funeral, let me tell you about these motherfuckers.
Okay, this is our segment called Talking Shit, where we hang out with comedians and talk shit about politics. Why? Because talking shit is fun and comedians are funny. And that's the only way we can deal with navigating the disgusting landscape of politics on this podcast, especially in an election year.
That's right, which is why we are so excited for our guest today. He's an absolute undisputed legend of stand-up comedy. He rose to fame overnight, if I might say, after his iconic appearance on Star Search, where he got second place to Martin Lawrence. If you have to get second place, I mean...
It would be to Martin Lawrence.
That's right. And he has worked nonstop ever since.
Most people know him today from his hilarious show on Amazon called Smothered, but I've been performing with him for over 20 years. So without further ado, it's time for Brandy and I to talk some shit with our friend, Jason Stewart. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Oh, first lie, Julie. 20 years? That's a lie. It's got to be 30. I mean, I think Donna Summer was on the radio.
You know, Jason, we went to do a little Jason Stewart deep dive, and I think that even as long as we've known each other, I've known you, I've never actually seen the Star Search clip, and it is online, and people should Google that shit, because it is pretty iconic.
Isn't it crazy?
Yes.
Isn't it crazy? And what's really interesting about it is that it starts off going, God, this guy's funny. He's so this. He's so wild. God, he's strange. God, whatever happened to him? How dare he stamp his foot and walk off? God, he's terrible. What a fag. What an ass. What a jerk. Oh, God, I hate him. Can I say the F word?
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck his career. God, he's a loser. God, Martin Lawrence is so much better. I mean, he went from the cute, fun, goofy guy to I want him dead. It was frightening. I went from feeling so great about myself to feeling terrible. It's like visiting my mother.
Which is the other thing that we watched with you online. And I mean, it looks like you and your mom are having a good time out in Palm Springs. Just doing it.
Oh, hashtag, I don't live with my mother. I live next door.
Which is amazing. Which is
amazing. Yes, I do not live with her. I'm not that big of a loser. I'm close, but not that big.
I think it's pretty incredible, honestly. I love it. I'm like jealous of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you should. Today was the day of the couch that she bought, but now she doesn't want. She buys things, she takes it back. She buys things, it's like a career. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. It's like she gets a little concession if she just has somebody pick up a couch, deliver it, and then she has to say, oh, no, it doesn't work here. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm so sorry. Does anybody know where my hearing aid is?
Well, she's in her 80s, and I have to say, she must have been a beautiful young woman, because I think she is extremely attractive.
Oh, she was hot. Julie knows this. Four husbands.
I mean, you can tell.
I mean, two she married, two she killed.
As long as she got some money in the process, we're 100%
supportive. Oh, are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. That, you know, oh, Mom, where'd you get that? Oh, that was Gordon. He gave me that. He gave me that CD player.
I mean.
Okay, so I asked Julie out of curiosity if you were Jewish or not, because I do remember one time we all went to the Abbey. And you were.
Yes, but what did Julie say? What did she just say?
Well, I recalled when we were at the Abbey, we all ordered food, and you were giving me food off your plate. It reminded me a lot of like Joan Rivers, and it just made me. It's like to me, it's like a very Jewish thing to you were giving me food and pushing food on me, and it was so sweet and such a caregiver. Julie said you are Jewish.
Caregiver. Dear God. I'm not an actor. I'm not a comedian. I'm a caregiver.
Well, listen, Joan Rivers used to give us candies out of a candy dish, and it would make me feel so special.
Oh, my God.
It's a compliment. I mean, you are. That's where you are. That's where you... That's that Jewish. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. You're just, it's that.
Well,
thing.
That's why I'm the spokesperson now for mindful weight loss. And I'm doing the shots because during COVID, I gained 25 pounds and then I lost 10 and then I gained 8 back and then I lost 7. And then now I've got 15 more to go, but it's really 17. But I've lost 7 already.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Meaning, it's like my age. I have no idea how old I am or what I weigh.
So you're doing the shot as in you're doing like an Ozempic shot?
Yeah, but good. It's not Ozempic. It's Wegovy. You know, who first turned me on to it was Ant, the comedian Ant, who's retired and lives in Palm Springs. I was doing a gig in Vegas, and he lives there, and he was telling me, I said, how did you get so thin? And he ate half a sandwich and didn't eat the rest. I said, what kind of person are you?
Exactly.
Who does that?
Wegovy. You know? All right, well, I'll look into that. Wegovy.
It's not the, and you know, if anybody really has the food in their head, go to mindful weight loss, because sometimes I don't know where my mind is. I'm mindless. I don't, nothing's going on.
So that's an actual thing, mindful weight loss, like mindfulweightloss.com?
I'm doing a diary on it and everything.
Mm.
It was sort of weird the way it came up. The publicist, Forrest Smothered, and I have kept in touch, even though I'm, and she said, would you like to come to this Oscar party? It's an Oscar gifting party. For those at home who don't know what a gifting party is, it's semi-celebrities, and, you know, I'm not even D-list. I think I'm F. And you go there, and you put on a sweater. They take a picture and says, oh, Jason Stewart loves this sweater. And then they put your credits or something, and they, you know, do it in social media. So they thought that's what's going to happen. I'm going to get some face cream, a pair of shoes. Mm. You walked in there, and oh my God, they gave you a bag that you could put a dead body in. And I had all this stuff. All this stuff. And then they went by the Mindful Weight Loss place, and they said, and I've been trying to get that for like a year, but you couldn't get it. And they said, yeah, we'd love to have you. And they've been terrific. And now the voices in my head are not with me. They're like across the room now. So I it's like I have a whole committee in my head, and they decide where I'm going to sit, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to eat. And now they're downstairs on another floor.
That's good.
That's great.
That's actually a huge, not only an accomplishment, but something to inspire to, really. I mean, I relate to that, having those voices and that food.
Oh, God. It's like you're eating breakfast and you're deciding what you're going to eat for lunch.
Yes.
And then, you know, you can't sort of, the whole thing is sort of crazy time.
Yeah.
And I think everybody can relate. And food has become our biggest, you know, I don't know. It's just like the worst thing ever in our lives these days. Bill Maher said it probably 20, 25 years ago. He says, they're not trying to kill us. They're trying to make us sick.
Mm.
And I think that's what's happened is they've made a lot of us sick, and that, yeah, and they make money on us.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch television. My mom leaves the television on 24 hours. So whenever I walk into her apartment, she's got it on the cooking channel. What happened to Valerie Bertinelli? She got fat. Now, my mom, that was last year. It's all, I know, because on Instagram, I saw her on Tickgram or whatever it is.
And she's
skinny again, and she doesn't even wear makeup. I don't understand it. Then she says another thing. Can your lesbian friends, I like them, but can they just wear a little lipstick? That's all I'm asking. I don't understand. A little lipstick.
Well, you know what? Yes. This is why I asked Jason if you were Jewish, because right now in, I don't know if it's the world or just America or just
okay,
LA or what, but people are mad at Jewish people, honey.
Well, let me ask Julie this, and this is where I start off with this, because you know, Julie sent me a couple things, but I've been reading so much already. On October 7th,
yes,
I don't know about you, I had to do a show that night, and I was like so beside myself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Julie even knows, my father was a Holocaust survivor, not the camps, but the ghettos. So I grew up with people who had run from the Nazis.
Wow.
So that, no matter what, that is a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm the son of a Holocaust survivor.
Mm.
And I'm not a religious sort in any way, shape, or form. I'm a cultural Jew. I'm not an Israeli Jew. I'm not a, you know, religious Jew. I'm not, you know, and my sister became Orthodox, you know, so I have, you know, who does, it hasn't really ruined our relationship. So there's so much complication in myself as a fan, as a human dealing with this. So what I really hate the most is that someone will get on social media and say one thing, and then that's it. You know, you could, 100 years ago, you could say, I hate Hitler, and everybody would go, yes, we do. But you can't say that now, because the complications, it's like you pull out one thing, a domino out, and something else happens. Hamas is the problem. So is Iran is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the people of Gaza are not the problem. But yet there are probably some people that live in Gaza that were brainwashed to hate Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Because I dated a guy who lived in Jordan, and he was Jordan and Venezuelan, and he said they used to come and bomb his house, Israel. So when he was a kid, he hated Israel because he was five, six years old. Mom would take him down the stairs without his shoes, wake him up in the middle of the night, and that's all he knew.
Yeah.
So you know, when you know better, what Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better. So that's part of that. So a lot of people, you know, the students, there were tons of, if you go online, you could see students of Gaza talking with Israeli students and them wanting this to end. And then they have a regime of Hamas that's their government, that has sort of stolen it, their government, and now is murdering people, and said publicly, we want to kill all Jews.
Mm.
That's it. So the Israelis, of course, with Netanyahu, who's very conservative, I don't even like to say conservative, because that means that you like to wear long sleeves or something. It doesn't mean that you want, you know, it doesn't really mean that these people are you know, are any way acceptable in our human society, no matter what someone feels.
Yep.
You know, and he has his way of doing this. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know that when you're going in and you're going to bomb people, and you know that you're going to kill so many other people with it, and you try not to, and then you make a mistake, and then you keep doing it, and you can't seem to do it. And that's all we really know. We don't know, because if the Israelis tell us what they're doing, everybody else will know. So way too many people have been murdered. Way too many. And way too many children.
Yeah.
Then this thing about Biden, you know, this has been going on in my head for such a long time. Thank you for giving me a place to have therapy about it. But Biden has been talking to them from the beginning, but they say he hasn't been doing things. Well, he can't tell you he's talking about it because then everyone will know.
That's right. That's right. Like, why don't we just tell everyone the plan?
Yeah.
Let's just tell the plan.
Really complicated. And Saturday, yeah. Oh,
so Iran did like a missile attack, like a huge crazy one on Israel. We want to play a clip of Trump because, of course, that piece of shit did a press conference letting everyone know that that never would have happened if he were still president.
Have you spoken with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu? How should the United States respond? And the same question for you, Mr. Speaker.
I don't want to say who I spoke to. But for the president of our country to actually put out a warning that he thinks that we're going to be attacked or they're going to be attacked, that's pretty pathetic. They wouldn't be attacking Israel if I were president, that I can tell you. And they never did. They wouldn't be attacking. Iran was in no position to attack. They had no money. They were broke. But now they have $221 billion, and they have Iraq, who has $300 billion. And Iraq has become a subsidiary of Iran. With all that we've done, with all of the fighting, all of the death, look at what happened, how incompetent the whole thing is. But I don't want to say who I spoke to, but I think it's a very, very dangerous period. This is a very dangerous period of time in our nation. And a big reason that it's dangerous that we have a president that's grossly incompetent. Thank you all very much.
I have to tell you, it's really hard. The thing about him that's real Trump that's really interesting is he will walk right into his own shit. And in the same section, he'll just turn around and then he'll walk around and the shit is still attached to him.
But
so it's hard to know what is real with him and what is not real. Because he doesn't say, this is how I would solve this problem. He'll say, oh, Biden is terrible. You know, Biden is terrible.
Exactly.
And what does he mean by they didn't have money, but now they do? What, did Biden give them $200, $300 million?
Well, we released money that Iran, we had frozen like $6 billion in oil asset money. We froze because they were being, because of
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, like sanctions.
So, great. So then when Biden came into office, he unfroze it. And there was a huge, you know, they had a huge debate as to whether or not they wanted to do that. Trump didn't want to give them that asset money. Biden decided to do it in honor of sort of that whole Obama thing and let's try and work together, let's da da. But they allotted the money for certain things. It was going to be watched.
That's
it was going to be
Julie.
Yes.
Really important that it was not given for it was given for certain things.
Yes.
Only.
Human right. It was human humanitarian aid for it was every single thing but anything not weapons, certainly. Nothing military.
And once again, ding ding ding, he lied. Trump lied about it.
Right. And he's been talking.
And gave people the impression that he was giving them, you know, guns
a check.
And bombs.
Yeah. And yeah, and he just wrote him a check for $6 billion so they could do with it what they want. Now, I will
say. Wait
a minute.
Where do you cash a check for $6 billion? Where do you go?
Exactly. Yeah, where do you go? Now, I will say this. You know, we don't know that Trump would or wouldn't have. He made a deal with the ISIS of Afghanistan for us to get out. He deals with terrorism. I do believe he would do anything if it had benefited him financially. So we don't know what he would have done. And he wouldn't have been honest about it anyway.
Right.
So I think his entire Trump talking about, I wouldn't have done this and pointing at this money, which he's been pointing at since 2018.
He probably just would have said, I won't give you the money unless you find some dirt on Hunter Biden.
Exactly. Yeah,
and then I'll
probably release
the money.
Right. So
and then we find out that Hunter, say this out loud, that the guy who was the main witness for him was a counteractive spy?
Yes!
The whistleblower was a fucking liar and a criminal.
And a MAGA, like, yeah. Conspiracy theorist. Yeah. Who literally they then found out was just
but even
like
away from that, because if we say that, we sound like them. But the thing is that he was found, the truth was found, is that he was a double agent.
Let's say double agent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and because I think it's really important that we don't just vilify Trump for no reason, because the way they vilify us is that we give them evidence.
Yeah.
And when we talk on a radio or something like this, it's listened by a lot of people. We don't just put someone down. We say, hey, this is the reason. Now you know that billions of dollars was not weapons. Now you know this.
Right. Now, we all of us don't know when it comes to you know, anything with money and weapons and Middle East and oil and financial gains from governments. We don't know the full truth. We don't. And I don't trust Iran. And Iran could have taken the money in whatever way and siphoned it out and done whatever they were going to do. But we know what we held up our end of the bargain. And so fine. But at the same time,
well,
I don't trust
that
Trump would.
Explain why they bombed Israel on Saturday.
Well, my understanding, and I don't know 100% yet, maybe Julie can help me, is that they bombed it because they are on the side of Hamas. And they are, and because they're on the side of Hamas, they're saying, oh, that the Israelis killed all these people mm-hmm. in Gaza. And yet at the same time, that the Israelis have been sending messages and I guess flyers all around and saying, hey, get out of this area, we're going to bomb this. They actually, and then people are not leaving. So I don't understand the math of all of this. It doesn't make sense to me. There's pieces missing.
Yeah, well, Israel also did bomb. They did like a drone bombing or whatever kind of bombing on an Iranian consulate in Syria. And that killed two very prominent generals in the Iranian, whatever, army, military, terrorist organization, whatever you want to call it. And Iran was pissed. And so they went ahead and used that as their reasoning to go ahead and send this round of bombs on Israel. So, and once again, I want to say it's like Israel did do that. And they did kill, you know, a quote unquote civilian people in that bombing. The problem is that, as we know, whether it's Iran, Syria, Gaza, Hamas, these people use civilians as a way to shield their people. So Israel is in an impossible, impossible situation. Now, I wouldn't say that they obviously have the worst leader. They have basically Trump as their leader, so they're fucked. However,
I don't know if he's as bad as Trump. I can't say that, but I know he's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And as my father used to say, it's not, you know, before he passed, he would say, Israel is not your Golda Meir's Israel anymore.
That is true.
It's not the same thing. It's not when Barbara Streisand sang, you know, on that special for, you know, the 25th anniversary of Israel. And she wore this very beautiful lace dress and sang.
Barbara
and a lot of other celebrities have said, please, you know, very major Jews have said, please stop bombing, you know, Gaza. And I think we have to stop bombing them now. We're not winning anything.
Agreed.
It's not working.
Yep.
And we're killing people, children. It's just wrong.
Mm. I do want to say this happened a couple weeks ago. Julie and I didn't get a chance to talk shit about it, but we've been talking shit about it in like privately. But NBC News, and I'm sure you knew this, Jason hired and then fired Trump goblin Ronna McDaniel.
Oh, yeah. That was really interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we're going to play a clip.
The person who is the head of the Republican Party during Donald Trump's time in office and during his effort to throw out the election result and stay in power anyway, and during his effort to run for election again after having done that, is Ronna Romney McDaniel. And she pitched in and helped. She helped set in motion the part of the plot that involved sending fake Trump electors to Congress from states that Trump did not win. So Republicans in Washington could use those fake fraudulent elector slates to contend that maybe Trump did win those states, even though he didn't. And so I want to associate myself with all my colleagues, both at MSNBC and at NBC News, who have voiced loud and principled objections to our company putting on the payroll someone who hasn't just attacked us as journalists, but someone who is part of an ongoing project to get rid of our system of government. Someone who still is trying to convince Americans that this election stuff, it doesn't really work. That this last election, it wasn't a real result. That American elections are fraudulent. It's my understanding that MSNBC's leadership did not object to Ronna McDaniel being hired by NBC News when the matter first arose. But when the hiring was announced, and MSNBC staff essentially unanimously and instantly expressed outrage, our leadership at MSNBC heard us, understood, and adjusted course. We were told this weekend in clear terms, Ronna McDaniel will not be on our air. Ronna McDaniel will not be on MSNBC. And I will also say, you know, if you care what I think about this, I will tell you the fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable. I mean, you wouldn't hire a wise guy. You wouldn't hire a made man like a mobster to work at a DA's office, right? you wouldn't hire a pickpocket to work as a TSA screener. And so I find the decision to put her on the payroll inexplicable. And I hope they will reverse their decision.
Yeah, so I was, I loved seeing it happen. If it could happen anywhere, I was happy it happened at NBCU, because I felt like NBC Universal has had some dubious hiring and firing practices in the past. And I loved that all of the hosts came together and were like, fuck that shit. I was really, really impressed with all of the on-air talent.
Well, this is the thing about this, and you see what Julie thinks about this. So this is sort of an ACLU thing. When you get rid of one person because you don't like who they are or what they've done, then they can do the same thing to us, which they have done most of our lives. But on the other hand, this is a woman who believed in the insurrection. This is a woman who doesn't believe in democracy. So where is the line with what that happened? Would it be neat to have her point of view and see? I sometimes yearn. I have these little fantasies of sitting in my house and I have conversations with Trump and other people and I ask them questions and then they don't know what to say because they're actually not here. But, but I mean, it would have been interesting to have Rachel interview her. I would have fucking loved to watch that shit. I mean, you know, rather than having people on that we agree with all the time, that's the one thing about TV now I don't, you know, care for, all these three different channels. And I think so yes, they didn't want to work with her because of who she was. Now, people, you're allowed to do that. If I decide Julie says something, you know, to me that I think is awful and I don't want to work with her, I could just say, hey, I don't want to work with you and, you know, cancel our show. We're allowed to do that. It's America. But, you know, when you do that, what's the repercussions of it? Where does the domino fall? And I'm not saying I don't agree with him, because I do. I wouldn't want to work with her, you know, but I would like that interview.
I would, yeah. Well, the interview they could completely have, but they were just saying it's like you're not going to be a pundit on MSNBC because you propagated an insurrection and are against democracy.
Right.
So we don't think you actually are either not just non-biased, you're so biased
yeah.
that it's ridiculous, and, like to a fault.
And trying to like ruin right. and subvert free press
right.
and freedom of information. Like, and to be fair, she's still employed by NBC News.
Really? I thought NBC News said no too.
I think she's definitely never to be on MSNBC, but
right.
I think that she had already signed a contract.
Oh, so she can go on like...
So technically, that interview could happen.
Oh.
Put it out there, Jason. Maybe
yeah.
Rachel Maddow.
Well, I honestly don't like her at all, and I would not want her to have anything benefit herself. And I think when you're anybody involved in insurrection who went there knowing what was going to happen... And believing this crazy man is basically not, you know, bad. That's bad. And
yeah.
you need to pay that price. But there were a lot of people that were not very, you know, sharp. And they went to this insurrection just to see what was going on. And then left when they saw how violent it got. Now, and I'm not, you know, believe me, I'm the biggest liberal guy ever. I'm almost a socialist. But I think that, you know, there's a difference. There's a nuance to all of this. We may not like somebody, but I think she, as you guys have said, she crossed the line.
Yeah.
And I do think that hopefully it's a like a line in the sand or something that people can also start standing. Like, rather than pandering, we can start standing and firm in some being on the offensive, being like, we're not going to employ or support
right.
someone who is trying to subvert democracy. That's where we're drawing the line. And we're going to stick to that. And we're going to fight for that. We're not going to sit
and
here.
And you lost your job because of that. And you lost your job because of that.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And that's okay.
This
and
is America.
We're not gonna,
this
right.
is what our country is built on. We
right.
have a right. And, you know, and for people who are listening, I'm sure you're very liberal, but, you know, Rachel Maddow is the only journalist I've ever seen on a show that will do it. Say what this interview is about. Say, hey, did I get that right? Did I leave anything out? So if anybody ever says she is biased, she is a liberal, but at the same time, she's the smartest person in the room. And she does not, and she will admit when she's wrong. And she has said when she's wrong and when she's made a mistake. And she's very, very You know, she does that a lot. She'll say, you know, oh God, this got wrong, or this didn't happen the right way, or she will say that, and that's why I respect her so much. Mm-hmm. I think she's probably one of my favorite journalists ever.
And if I may just like to add another side, for me, I totally get and hear everything you're saying, Jason, like, in, especially in terms of, yeah, you don't want somebody fired because of their viewpoint if it's different, blah, blah, blah. But for me, there's the side of it, and we know she crossed the line, and I personally, I mean, we can't, like, literally stand her, but that what inspired me about it is because I've been in this business since I'm 15. Julie, you too, 15, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a
show
long
business, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I started when I was, first acting class, I was 14. First play, I was 16.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I was a baby.
All this time, you know, I feel like the on-air talent in whatever capacity it is, they're the last to know, they have the least power on the set, and for them to get together and use their collective star power and influence and be like, no, we weren't consulted. We don't want this. We don't want her to be a colleague of ours. And they finally like got to use some of their power and not just to go on Twitter and be like whine or whatever. I was really inspired. Like, that's right, man. I'm sick of like, you know, the cast doesn't get a choice in how the script is or who gets written off or on or what, where their character goes. January Jones didn't get to say, I don't want to wear a fat suit or whatever. This is just me and all my baggage, Jason. But I just was like, hell yeah, man. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. They did get together.
Well, I think when it have is. We ever I think it is. I love that. That's America.
Yeah.
That's where we live. But there's also the thing that it may bite us in the ass too, in some way. It's happened to me as an LGBTQ person. How many times, Julie, have you been fired? How many times, you know, I was fired off a sitcom. My role didn't continue when it was supposed to continue on a sitcom because I was gay. I was fired in comedy clubs several times because I really chose to do different things.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, before we let you go, I have to talk about this because
I can't wait.
I want it to get out there that Biden and the Department of Education, but let's say Biden, like it needs to be spread through the streets before these voting booths open, okay? That he provided 277,000 student loan borrowers, $7 billion in debt relief. It's people who've paid at least, I think, 10 years of like the minimum payment. Like, it's not like they just graduated and they're like, fuck my student loans.
Oh, okay.
Because, of course, you know, I paid my student loans all the way completely off and it took 900 years. But so I'm slightly bitter that anybody doesn't have to. But I'm also totally into it. And I'm glad that Biden is doing that. And even though half those people will for sure vote for Trump right. And they will be told that Trump did that for them mm-hmm. and they'll believe it.
Yeah.
It's still a good thing to do in this election year, I think.
I think it's great. There's nothing to say. And I have one of my best friends, Kareem. He has student loans and he has been, you know, trying to pay it off and try to figure it out and make a living with him and his husband and da-da-da and trying to be an actor and trying to be a producer and trying to be a writer and everything we're all trying to be because we can't be just one thing anymore.
No.
And everybody's trying to do that. And when I said I'm so in on this, I tell everybody this, but I thought we were going to talk about Suri Cruz. I was dying.
I mean, we can.
I really want to so much because if anybody knows anything about her, I'm just obsessed with this whole Scientology thing. Just the idea that somebody commits so big, you know, not to make the college thing like, because I think it's great. Thank you, Biden. But
yeah. Well, I mean, Suri Cruz is turning 18, which is pretty.
What's the date?
I mean, I do think her birthday is in April, from what I can remember. Mm. I feel like she should only be 10, but she's 18. Just the age to go. Maybe she'll need student loans since she hasn't seen Tom Cruise since 2012.
Oh, yeah. She's getting $4,000 a month, and her mother works, and she got. I'm sure it must be tight. That's all I have to say. Yeah. It's got to be tight.
So, I mean, Tom Cruise has not seen this child in over 10 years.
We don't know that.
No, it's in the article. It's like
I know who wrote it.
Well, I mean, I guess we don't know for sure, but it's
we don't know for sure. I bet he has, and they've talked. I mean, and they say the same thing about Nicole Kidman, and then she goes on a talk show and says, "Yeah, I'm texting with my kids." You know, you can see it's strained, but still, you know, God, how many? My brother hasn't liked me since since I was born, and my sister's an Orthodox Jew and got rid of me like 30 years ago. So, you know. And, you know, things happen in families. You know what I mean? It goes up and down.
Well, things happen in families, but certain things happen in Scientology. And what they do they name somebody a suppressive person, which is why the other kids, Nicole Kidman adopted with Tom Cruise, they definitely, those kids did not speak to her for over a decade. So it isn't
allegedly.
But they certainly were not ever seen with her. And nobody went in public record, and they weren't spending any kind of significant mother, son, and daughter time.
There was a whole, I think the daughter got married, and there was a whole talk about that when Nicole was being interviewed. And you can see it on her face. It's crushed her. It really has.
And I think
and that happens in families a lot.
And now people are hoping, I guess, now that series 18, that she can make choices for herself, and maybe she, you know, hopefully wants a relationship with Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise can certainly, and if anyone in Scientology can do
it. Choices? I want all the dish. Yeah. What happened?
I'm dying to. I would love like a movie about just how Katie Holmes got out to like the planning.
Her father's a very famous and successful divorce lawyer.
Yeah. But
did you know that?
The whole planning of it, like sneaking, and she's looking for her apartment, and she's dealing with her dad. And then she just one day just, it was like, everybody's on the move in the cars and the people are on radios.
Is that, is that what happened? Or is that just in your mind how it went down? I mean, you have it like this story. I thought it was a white limousine. She got in, she had her bag. It was a Dior bag. And then she know where the other one was because it looked exactly like it was fake. She didn't know it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's adding the color that I need, like the very specifics. But yes, it was like that. It was like a fake bogey car went out the driveway. They were in another exact same looking car. She went in the dead of night and escaped him and Scientology. And she says on record that is the reason that she left him was because she wanted to get her daughter away from Scientology. She was scared that she would be claimed a suppressive person. The same thing that happened to Nicole Kidman. And she didn't want to
become... I don't know if she thought she would lose her kids. I don't think... She probably didn't know that it would... You know, she was also really, really, really young when she married him.
Yeah.
I think she's 10 years younger than him, I think.
Well, series... Julie found out April 18th, so just a couple days.
Yep.
Got very close to Barbara Streisand's birthday.
When's Barbara Streisand's birthday?
Same as my mom, April 24th.
Oh.
And Shirley MacLaine.
And Shirley MacLaine.
Mm. Ooh, that's nice. That's a really, I like that birthday, April 24th.
April 24th, that's nice.
Yeah. And
my
I mean, let's not forget.
Charles Nelson Riley and Orlando Bloom.
January 8th. Wait, January 13th. 15th. Oh, okay.
13th.
I know 13th. Orlando Bloom is like right by me. I'm the 19th.
Oh, do you love Orlando Bloom as much as I do?
But no, I love that you're
my fantasy man, and he knows it. And there's another connection to Tom Cruise, is Isai Morales. That's my guy. And he knows it. Every time I get near him, I don't know what to say. And he looks at me, and sometimes he holds my hand, and it's just too much.
Well, we saw you hugging my guy.
Oh, Jason.
Who's your guy?
How does Keanu Reeves smell in person?
Like old cigarettes.
Yay, that's my favorite.
I swear to God, and I did a show called Swedish Dicks, which is the Peter Stormare from all the Coen Brothers films and John Wick and all the action films. And he had a series for 2 years. Everybody was on it. Margaret Cho, all sorts of guest stars. And I was lucky enough to get on it. And I played this mafia guy who shared a cell, who was a mayor or a senator or something. And then the guy says to me, my name was Oscar Bustamante. And the guy said, director said, I was offered the part. I didn't read for it, so I didn't know what to do. And they said, oh, by the way, can you do a Latin accent? I said, no. He said, really? I said, let me think. No. Not going to do weird accent. And then I looked at Keanu Reeves and I said, God, how do I play this part? I said, well, he's a big movie star. I'll just do what he does. So I pretended I was him, but because I'm such a bad impressionist, it just turned out me looking like this sort of, you know, mafia guy that talks like this. And I don't know. And I was talking like Keanu Reeves, and then we hugged each other. And I said, can I hug you? And then he says, come over here. And we started to work out how the hug was going to go. And he was nervous because he had not worked in television ever. And he had an arc on that show. And he was really just the sweetest guy. And then he stayed in my house for like 3 weeks. He wouldn't leave.
And that's amazing.
He was in my guest room. Yeah, yeah. He was right next to my photograph of me on the Out 100.
So every night he could ponder the possibility of being out 101. with Jason.
Well, if Julie knows, if there's any single thing I could wish that he smelled like, it would be what, Julie?
Old cigarettes.
It'd be cigarettes, 100%.
So, really?
Yeah.
Do you smoke?
I don't, but I think it's very sexy when people do.
I'm surprised, and he still does. How long, when did you
does
guys do the show?
Now? I don't know. A couple of years ago.
Well, if it was a couple of years ago, he might still smoke. He seems like the kind of guy that would just continue to smoke. But I could be wrong. I don't know. We don't know him. But that's amazing. That's like one of like, that's the top three guy around here that we talk about all the time. One of Brandy's dream guys. So that's exciting.
Okay, how do you feel about him? Julie, he does seem sort of womanly, doesn't he?
Julie loves him.
I approve of him for her. I approve of him for life. I approve of him for the world.
You don't ever have a guy. See, sometimes I'll see a woman, I'll go, like, when I was a kid, if I was going to be married to a woman, it would have been Anne Margaret. Just the way
she was
in Bye Bye Birdie. And she just, and then Kitten with a Whip, and then she goes, you can't see what I'm doing. She flicks her head and her hair goes back, and she was Kitten with a Rip,
with a whip.
With John Farside. And she breaks into his house with her friends, and they're all really bad people, but not that bad. You know, I love that movie. Mm-hmm.
So she's your lady. If you were to have to do one lady.
I think so, yeah. Because she was so great, and God, and you know, and she, then she became this incredible actress.
Yeah,
you know, that's my girl. If I would be one, and then my best friend.
I'm surprised you didn't pick Major Jew, Barbara Streisand. All right, I'm going to name this episode.
No, because Barbara's
Major
not.
Jews.
Barbara is like no, it's too iconic, and I couldn't be with Anne. I can have a relationship with Barbara. I don't know if I could act normal. I just don't think it would. I think the whole relationship would go down the drain, and you know, I'd start crying a lot, and you know, I'd say, you know, why can't you help me? Why can't you direct one more film? You know. I thought you were going to do the normal heart. I know Larry Kramer was terrible to you, and he fired you three times, and he just publicly. And I know you couldn't get the money, and you tried to. But hey, you know, maybe we could just do a small production off Broadway. You could direct it.
Well, tell our 14 listeners how they can find you and follow you and keep in touch with you. I know they're all just going to love you.
Okay, jasonstewart.com is where everything is. It's sort of old school. All the social media is there, so you can choose the ones you want. And it's Jason, STURT.com, and that's it. And go watch Smothered. And you go to that website, it's smotheredtv.com, and you can watch it almost for free on YouTube. It's on Amazon if you have that. It's on Tubi and Apple TV and Reverie and Ugh and Ich and Poosh. And
Jason, thank you so much. We love you.
Oh, thank you. This is so nice. It's so nice to talk to you guys.
So that's it for this episode of our Dumb Gay Podcast.
Thank you guys for listening to our stupid podcast. We love and appreciate all 14 of you so much. If you're new here and you like us, but you'd rather not hear about politics, please consider checking out our Patreon podcast. Our Patreon podcasts are completely different than this one. You can sign up for just $4 a month. Just try it. You might find that you love having more content. Mm-hmm. You will get 1-hour-long podcast every Wednesday at 10 a.m. It'll go right into your like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you listen to podcasts on. You can feed the Patreon directly into it, and it'll come right in and say, "Yep, Wednesday, 10 a.m. Yep. There's a new Patreon, Brandy and Julie. On Wednesdays, we do Wrong Side of the Takes, which is basically just us giving our opinions on shit that losers will probably disagree with. Like, for example, I like drinking soup out of mugs.
I don't mind eating soup out of mugs. I don't. I don't mind it.
Prefer a bowl?
You know what? Now, since having drank the soup out of the mugs with you, I feel like I like the mug life now for soup because it stays hot the whole time. And if you want more, you just get more. Unlike the bowl where it gets cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we're not eating at like a fucking table. We're on the couch.
Right.
Now there's a cat jumping on me.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Hold it with a handle.
I like it. I like it. And I like to eat the soup with the spoon that you get for ramen.
Yes, which we have.
Mm-hmm. I love those spoons. I only want to eat out of those spoons.
Okay, well, that's weird, too. So that's a weird take, too.
Yeah, there's, I love that spoon. Yeah.
Ramen spoon, clam mug.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Hello. There's a link to join our Patreon in the description of this episode, or you can go to our website, julianbrandy.com, and listen to a free one to see if you like it.
You can also go to julianbrandy.com to get our address if you want to send your picture for the Drug Den bulletin board. And as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly it's been gay and it's been dumb.
And Jason Stewart.
Legend.
Hello.
Hello, icon.
How'd you do? I see you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Night.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. A sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.